Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Bob Surratt.
That old DJ is worth listening to.
Bob Surratt, start your day.
7:39. If you ever thought that you needed help finding things to talk about on Facebook, you may be in luck with us to talk about that and everything else social media-wise. Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Morning, Scott. What exactly is Facebook doing here?
Morning, Bob. Well, it's interesting. It's still in the testing phase, but it looks like right now that Facebook is trying to grow engagement around specific topics. And to do that, you may have noticed it's still being tested, so you may not have found this yet, but it started to show some people in their news feeds new displays of topics to follow. So depending on the type of content that you already interact with, you may see something pop up that says, follow more travel, follow more baseball, follow more world news. You know, it's new, so it's hard to gauge how many of those categories that there are.
Well, we're definitely creatures of habit, and we tend to stay with what we know, don't we?
Yeah. And that's fine. You know, this takes what you've indicated to Facebook that you like and adds a layer of discovery on top. And there's always the possibility that there's an amazing group or page out there or, you know, something that's just waiting to be found. I know I found some great pages on Facebook just by accident. So a little help every now and then isn't a bad thing. But you got to remember, there's also these changes coming from Apple, and that actually is happening in earnest this week with its new software update. So, you know, when users can, and they will, opt out of tracking by the Facebook app, you know, Facebook is going to have to find new ways, new innovative ways to track what customers like. So if you never told Facebook that you're super interested in something, say surfing or crocheting, you know, you imply that by following the topic. So if people actually do these things, then Facebook has kind of circumvented Apple's change. Not really. It's rudimentary, but it gets the job done. I always say that these types of tests, that there's always more than meets the eye.
So in the long run, it sounds like this is good for the user, and Facebook, because people are being introduced to more topics, right?
Oh, I'm sure that's part of the thinking behind it. Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it introduces users to other things on the platform, not because they didn't know it was there, but because maybe they didn't, you know, they wouldn't have otherwise sought it out. But on the other hand, enticing people to click and then click again, I mean, that certainly helps Facebook keep people in its ecosystem longer. And, you know, while plenty of people are using Facebook every day, you know, we talk about this all the time, Bob, there's plenty of competition out there. And Facebook has not been shy of saying in the past that in its perfect world, you would do everything you need to do with Facebook. Now, I don't think that is ever going to happen, but this, in theory, would keep people on Facebook longer.
And speaking of that, you're going to give us some tips about making sure you take breaks from social media, and we need that.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people that finding the right balance is very important. And, you know, while you're tempted to see more, you know, I'll try to tempt you to see a little bit less at the same time.
Yeah. And by the way, we were just talking about how you could be talking about a particular product or store or service, and then magically popping up in your Facebook feed posts from those commercial enterprises. It's freaky, isn't it?
It's amazing how that happens. You know, I used to look at it, and I used to be like, nah, that's not really happening, you know. And then now you talk with people, and they're like you just said, you know, I was just talking about that. How in the world did they know that I was talking about that? So, you know, you think to yourself that something really weird is going on, but what you really have is, you know, smart computers and smart things that are actually happening. It's really crazy.
I'll say. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg has some practical tips about taking a break from social media. What do you suggest, Scott?
Bob, I suggest making a pledge to yourself that you tune out at least one day a week. Now, I know from experience how hard that can be. Social media is a lot like eating. Sometimes we do it not because we want to, but because we're bored.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I know you never used to take breaks from social media. When did you start?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I really started trying in 2019, and I'll admit I didn't do so well. During the days where I had to be on all the time, I found it hard not to be on all the time, you know. But then last year, especially with all the politics and the hatred layered in with the pandemic, I started to see friends and colleagues of mine really make a concerted effort to start taking breaks. And now I find that I'm pretty good at checking in, doing what I need to do, and then replacing my end of social media with other activities.
So what really worked for you?
Well, you know, I have all my social media apps in a folder on my iPhone. And what I do is I delete the apps that I want to avoid, because if I don't see them, I'm not as tempted to use them, even though I know I can re-download them anytime I want, and I do. I also know some friends who have had a lot of success in putting their phones out of reach when they sleep, so they're not tempted to doom scroll when they wake up in the middle of the night.
And you could also follow fewer people and pages, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have the time to unfollow all the negative influences, I think overall you'd be much happier. You know, over the years, I would say that we've all followed way too many people and too many accounts, and now our feeds are pretty chaotic. The overall goal is to find that balance and do things that are healthy. You know, you could take walks, you can meditate, you can exercise, just put your headphones on and listen to music. You just need to give yourself the tools that you need to successfully unplug.
Good advice. Today, the media executives, the social media executives, are testifying in front of Congress, and we're told this hearing will be entirely focused on algorithms. What exactly are they going to be dealing with here? What are they going to be talking about, and what's the goal here?
Well, remember what algorithms are, okay? In the most simplest terms, they're invisible pieces of code that tell a computer how to accomplish a task. So I like to think of it like a recipe. You add ingredients, and the computer cooks up what it thinks is best. And we're always interacting with algorithms. I mean, all the time. It's not just on the social media platforms you use, but every time you do a Google search or every time you plug in an address into your GPS, that's interacting with an algorithm. So you're going to have all these, you know, Congress people, you know, basically just grilling these people and saying, tell us about your algorithms. And the algorithms are the secret sauce of everything. So they're not going to just say, oh, here's how our algorithm works. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a matter of trying to convince people that algorithms are, you know, not necessarily bad for us, but they're also not necessarily good for us.
So on the hot seat, it's Facebook, Twitter, and also YouTube today, right?
Yeah, the interesting thing is that you see YouTube is owned by Google, and usually it's someone from Google who is there. And that the CEOs themselves are not there. These are the public policy people. So today they're actually having someone from YouTube there. I think that's going to be interesting simply because we don't usually hear from them. But I think what's going to be probably frustrating for the people who are actually conducting these hearings is I don't think they're going to walk away with anything new today.
That will be in the news later for sure. Now, the question I have that I always bill this as the social media / internet question that everybody knows the answer to except me. And here's what I need to do, Scott. I need to spiff up my LinkedIn. What people see, I don't think is any good, because there's an outdated listing there of where I work. I think I've got something on there that was two jobs ago. I don't have a picture. So how do I get in there and fix it? And do I really need to fix it? And for that matter, do I need to be on LinkedIn?
Well, those are a lot of questions there, but let me see how I can address it. In terms of, I mean, you need to tell people, Bob, about all the amazing things you do every day. So I think you should probably be on LinkedIn. I always tell people that on LinkedIn, you should have the most up-to-date photo that you possibly can because you want people to know who you are. I think it's definitely important for you to update it. What I would do is I would update it on your computer if you can versus your iPhone. It's a lot easier to actually use the tools on the LinkedIn desktop version or laptop version. And there is a section that is just devoted to the, you know, about me type of thing, you know, the things that you've done, the things you've accomplished. The LinkedIn style is to do things in short paragraphs. So you say, you know, in 2020, I did this. In 2019, I did this. I also do this. Just write a couple of paragraphs about the things you've done. It should have a natural type of voice and cadence to it. And then just make sure that you have an updated photo. You are limited to a certain number of characters. I want to say it's 2,000 characters, but it might be a little bit less. So you have to think about the things that are most important that you want to say.
2,000. All I want to do is I want to put a line in there that says something about WGN instead of whatever's in there now, which I think is old. So you can just go in and edit your profile or whatever people see when they get in there.
Yes, exactly. When you're on your first page of LinkedIn and you go to edit, that first page that comes up is the first thing that you can edit. And you're absolutely right. You can put in just the line. You can put in where you work. You can leave the description entirely out if you want and just basically say, I've worked at WGN for this many years, you know, and just leave it at that. But if you want to tell somebody a little bit about what you do, about the things you like to do in your spare time, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can put in there. It's really up to you how much you want to say. And it sounds like you want to keep it kind of basic, which is absolutely fine for LinkedIn, too. There's just all different ways that people tend to use the platform.
Well, I'll make up a few things so I sound interesting. Scott Kleinberg.
You have plenty of stuff to sound interesting. No worries.
Talk to you next week. Thank you, Scott.
Take care, Bob.